This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. Boomer out sick again, hoping he is healthy and back on Monday when Phil Sims will join us for 3 hours, breaking down the draft and the quarterbacks and everybody that he likes in the 2025 draft, as it'll be just a few days away.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, it'll be great. I mean, like anytime Phil is in, it's tremendous. He's just one of those guys who walks into the room. He's electric. Yeah. The man is electric.
He's got a presence about him.
He really does. Yeah. I mean, and it just puts a smile on my face even when we are insulting back and forth with one another. You know what is really amazing to me? Like when people... Like, I've had a couple instances recently where like, I'm clearly joking and someone's getting upset about it. And then I think about, like, me and Phil Sims going back and forth. Like, Boomer and Phil have their thing for many years. But the fact that I go back and forth to Phil Sims, and, like, I'm calling him old and stiff and all these things, right? And he's going to me, you thick some bitch, you know, this and back. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is what I want to show to people, like, it doesn't matter.
It's all fun.
It's all fun.
Right.
Like if I could insult Phil Sims in a joking manner, then you can get over whatever your butthurt feelings are. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh yeah. So the Knicks and the Pistons and the playoff series that starts tomorrow. Thank God we are finally here. The way you feel about the draft and most people feel about the draft. Thank God it's finally here. That's the way I feel about the playoffs. I have been, you know, last regular season with the Knicks, I felt like I was more locked into that regular season than I ever was. This one felt different. I got bored by the games. The Knicks looked like they were bored. Even Wally Szczerbiak said it, that they looked like they were just waiting for the playoffs and were bored by the regular season. It's the first time in a very long time, maybe ever, that we have watched a Knicks team be so good that they get bored by the regular season. And they won more games than they did last year. Don't feel like it, but they did. So finally to get to see them in the playoffs, I am thrilled for that. And I am a little bit nervous about the fact that the Pistons, you know, they've got nothing to lose. The franchise hasn't been there in a long time. The games in Detroit should be very loud and intense. And Cade Cunningham could be maybe this year's Trae Young. And they could out-rebound the Knicks. But the Knicks are so much more talented. You know, it's not going to be a sweep. It could be 5. I'm picking the Knicks in 6. But it's not even like how they finish the series or how many games they finish if they win. It's how they look in the games. Are we going to get something? Are we going to watch a version of this team that we can believe, if they move on, can compete with the Celtics? And I'll be looking every single possession, offensive and defensively. I'm going to be looking at this with a microscope, hoping that they give this fan base and all of us some more hope.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the Knicks were a victim of their own success this year. And it felt in a lot of ways, like the Yankee fan has felt. Like, yeah, the season, hey, let's just get to October, yet you got 162 games to get through, and you've got to get to where you need to be first. The Knicks, we've known all along, all season long, we have known they were a playoff team, and we knew they were a top half in the Eastern Conference team. It was just how high could they climb. I knew the Cavaliers would be good. I didn't think the Cavaliers were going to win 65 games. We knew the Celtics would be good. And so the Knicks are right there as that three team in the East. A couple of things about them, I think. Number one, I think you probably feel a little better had they not struggled so much with the Cavaliers, the Celtics, the Thunder, teams like that. I do think that's a factor. In terms of this series, I expect them to win this series in five games. I think they are the better team. They've been here before. The one thing that would concern me, if anything would concern, well, two things, I guess. A, the way and how tough Detroit plays, I would be concerned for a next round matchup with likely Boston, how beat up they are. But two, in terms of this series, like the Pistons went really far really quickly in terms of their win total from last year and how much they've improved. What would concern me is they don't know what they don't know. Like, this team could just be walking in like, let's go get the Knicks, not realizing they're going to walk into a hornet's nest in Madison Square Garden, and they might be oblivious to it because they're a bunch of young kids. They really are. It's a young group for the most part. Other than that, though, the Knicks are the better team, and I really expect them to take care of business in this first round relatively quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who the people around Karl Anthony Towns are, the people that are close in his life or his friends in the league or whoever on the coaching staff he vibes with the most, but as someone who knows New York basketball, whether it's, you know, Rick Brunson or John Starks, who's at all the games, or, you know, even Stephon Marbury, somebody that's been around, Larry Johnson, needs to get through to him and say that, all right, your reputation is this, whether you like it or not, whether it's true or not, that's your reputation. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks traded for you to be the missing piece of them to win a championship, the first one in a very long time. You got to dominate, man. Your entire legacy, who you are, the way that people think about you, it's all ahead of you. And if you're going, you know, a couple of 40-point playoff games and 13-rebound games with it, and the Knicks are winning games, I mean, he could. We don't talk about him enough, which is the problem. We should be talking about him all the time. He should be the best player on the team, the best player on the court, like, hands down.
Well, guess who's going to get talked about a lot now? Because I agree with you. The Knicks fan's been bored. The Knicks fan is going to be highly engaged now. And if Karl Anthony Towns doesn't play up to his standards or up to his capability, he is going to be lit on fire on the airwaves. He just is. And whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. But he is going to come under the spotlight now more so than he has been all season long. The other thing that I look at with this series, which is where he should benefit, and it should be a little different. I know he had Anthony Edwards. He's had good players with him. Don't get me wrong. Jalen Brunson last year, you could make the case, really until he got hurt, was the best player in the playoffs. It was 40-point game after 40-point game. It was remarkable what he was doing. And as he got more and more injured, you could see he wasn't himself. He is fully healthy going into this playoff run right now. If you get anything close to that version of Jalen Brunson from last season, along with Karl Anthony Towns playing with some sort of a chip on his shoulder, this, and I'm not disrespecting the rest of the team because it takes all the win, right, Jay? But
yeah,
those two in and of itself should be enough for them to win this series if you get what I think you're going to get from them.
Yeah, it's just that we've seen fewer of those Jalen Brunson games this year, and I know he missed some time than we did last year, and it's also like he's got to defer a little bit. So, that, you know, there's, if you remember when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors and they ended up winning those back-to-back championships. Like, Steph Curry's role changed.
It did.
Like, he wasn't, like, he had a lot of, like, 16-point games, you know, more assists, whatever.
He put winning first.
And he adjusted. And it just doesn't feel like that has happened with those two yet.
Yeah, it's interesting. See, I feel like when Brunson was healthy, I actually did feel like he did, because there were a lot of those 15, 16, less than 20-point games where Towns was lighting up the score sheet. I actually felt like it was working, and there were parts of this season where I think you saw what they could be.
Yeah.
It kind of, whether they were bored, whether they were banged up. I mean, this is really the first time you're seeing the Knicks fully healthy.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it felt, and we're comparing them to a dynasty, which is not fair, but I guess the thing that I'm trying to get at, because you're right, there have been games where Brunson's numbers are down and Towns is up, it's whatever. But it doesn't feel connected as much as what I saw back then with that superstar team. It's almost like, okay, it's a Towns night, it's a Brunson night, Brunson's off, it's a Towns night, Towns is off, it's a Brunson night. It never felt like, it just hasn't felt connected. There's just been something off the entire year.
I don't disagree with that. That's probably very true, but part of that is they changed the complexion of the team.
Yeah.
And it does take time, and they didn't have all their pieces. You know, what this week of practice did, I have no idea. I don't. But I do know they don't practice much during the season. They just don't. There's a lot of walkthroughs. There's film. But they're not on the floor practicing. From what I understand, a lot of practice this week. Maybe it's what they needed to kind of become connected. I'm not sure. But I do think personnel-wise, they have the better personnel top to bottom. And they are finally what they envisioned to be when they put this team together.
All right, let's get some calls in on this Feel Good Friday, 888-808-1019. Bobby is in Manhattan. What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, how are you guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Bobby.
All right, so quick question. So I'm a big Rangers and Knicks fan, and for the past more or less decade, it's been the Rangers in April and May that's been fired up the entire city. You know, guys leave work early on a Tuesday, go to the bars, go drinking. You know, the whole city's fired up behind the Rangers. Last year, we were blessed that we had both the teams rolling. My question is, do you think if it's just the Knicks, which it is, will the cities have the same energy as it has the past, 10 years?
Are they winning? Yes.
Listen, if the Knicks wipe out the Pistons and then start competing with the Celtics, the city's going to be on fire. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
The same as we are with the Rangers going, though?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, obviously, there's going to be more if two teams are playing and it's every night at the Garden and it's like, all right, the Knicks are on the road and then the Rangers are here or vice versa. There's going to be more juice with them playing, both of them playing, I mean, just for obvious reasons. But there is no way, Bobby, that if the Knicks are
advancing,
like if they somehow sweep the Pistons and we're all fired up and then they get in this battle with the Celtics, like no one around Madison Square Garden is going to be like, man, I wish the Rangers were playing.
So here's a good question for you in terms of this group. Last year, when this team was winning playoff games, the fans were taking to the streets of Madison Square Garden. And I mean, in droves, they were singing in harmony. I mean, they were all into it. I do agree. This team doesn't have that feel. And I don't feel like the fans, until they prove that they're that team, I don't think you're going to see that again until maybe a big win over the Celtics. So it will be a little different, I think. I could be wrong. I just don't think Saturday night at 9 o'clock, if they beat the Pistons 121-105, that the fans are going to be chanting in the streets about the Knicks.
The fan base doesn't love this team like it loved it last year. I'm not saying that they don't like it, but it doesn't. It's not the same love affair.
It's different.
Like, okay, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, yes, you love those guys. I think OG Anunoby is kind of going up the charts a little bit there as well, but it's not the same. Like, it's just not.
I agree. Until they get deeper into the postseason. If you ended up with a game seven against the Celtics and they wound up winning that game to advance to the conference finals, I think everything gets taken up tenfold from that point.
Let's go to Matt, who's down in Florida. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, Matt. What's up?
No, nothing much. I just wanted to talk a little bit about these Aaron Rodgers comments yesterday.
Yeah.
So, as a Jets fan, to me, this is exactly why he needed to go. I don't understand why go into so much detail to make the Jets look so bad yesterday. There's no reason for it. He could have simply said, I flew out there, I met with them, it didn't work out. They're going in a different direction. And that was it. He didn't have to say, Aaron Glenn ran out of the room. I flew out there on my own dime. I'm so sick of these sideways comments.
Yeah, but Matt, let me just ask you, though, and I understand that you're a Jets fan and Rodgers is done and you're going to be with the Jets forever as a fan. But like in your own personal life, if you felt you've achieved something or earned respect in your particular field and then you got disrespected in a way, you feel totally disrespected, and then everybody around you was talking about something and giving wrong facts about it, and then you stayed quiet for months, and then finally came out. I was like, you know what? This is what happened, and I felt disrespected. I mean, take away your fandom and your disdain for Aaron Rodgers and just look at it as a human standpoint. He felt disrespected after being a multiple MVP, a Super Bowl winner, a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he felt that these two guys who'd never had the job basically spit on him and kicked him out of the door. He's got every right to be pissed about that.
he could be pissed. I'm not saying he's wrong in being pissed, but don't air it out. See, like, to me, that's the problem. And that's why I don't think he's going to, even if he wanted to play, I don't think anybody's going to give him a job. Let's say he signs with the Steelers, right? And he says something. And he goes on McAfee, and something happens in the game, and Tomlin goes after him, right? And he goes on McAfee and says, oh, Mike called me into his office. He said X, Y, Z. Well, whether it's a first-year coach, a seasoned coach.
I disagree there because, I mean, we're talking about Robert Saleh, who was a, you know, borderline buffoon while he was here, and Aaron Glenn has never done the job before, compared to Mike Tomlin, who's the most respected or one of the most respected coaches in the league. And by the way, do you remember the stories that were coming out of that Jets meeting about how he was begging to come back, and he was, you know, on his knees saying, please, I want another chance, I don't want to go out like this. And if none of that was true and those stories were out there, and he's like, that's a bunch of crap, this is the way it happened, verbatim, like, he's going to want to put that out there because he looks like a fool if those stories are out there about begging for his job and telling you can't do Pat McAfee. None of that was true. Mm-hmm. So he felt like he had to address it. And I've been on your side most of the time with Aaron Rodgers. But this particular one, I don't blame him at all. And, oh, by the way, he's not on the Jets anymore. Like, if he, what he did with Mike Williams was a big problem, because that was during the season with one of the players. And that could have hurt the team. He doesn't have it. He doesn't owe the Jets anything at this point. He's not on the team. Anything that he says shouldn't really affect the team at this point.
Yeah, but you know what it is too, though. I think it also goes back to it being the Jets, and you have every other franchise in the NFL, and then you have the Jets.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Bingo.
It's just that it's a different, completely. It's like you guys have seen the movie Moneyball, right?
Yeah.
And I keep every time I see it, I think about that scene when he goes, there's good teams, there's bad teams, and there's 50 pounds of crap, and then there's us. That's the Jets.
Well, that is true, and I would say this. This whole situation reminds me of a boss who is pissed off at you, doesn't treat you right, and then you make that public, and the boss is pissed at you for telling people how he treated you.
Yeah.
Like, own it. That's all.
And I know it's really hard.
Oh, my God.
Was that me or actually Chernoff? I don't even know.
That was you.
I know it's really hard to try to put yourself in Aaron Rodgers' shoes and say, well, you know, like, all the attention that's on him and everybody's talking about him and articles that are written. But just try to, like, put, like, just take away that and think in your own personal life. Like, let's say that there's a bunch of coworkers that think that a meeting between you and your boss went a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, I heard he was in there begging and crying and asking for mercy, and it didn't go that way.
Correct.
And then you walk out and
believe this.
You hear all these people talking about it. Like, what are you, like, you're supposed to just not say anything?
That,
like, you got pride too, right?
Correct.
No, the truth is this. And F those guys. Mm-hmm. I felt disrespected.
You're a disgusting pig.
Yeah. I have not been an Aaron Rodgers fan by any stretch, but I will tell you, over the last year, I've changed my tune, because a lot of what he said seems like has been true.
You know, well, this particular one, too, because he also said all these great things about other people.
He even was gushing about the organization. Like, you know, he talked about the different parts of the staff and the team and off the field, being here around the company. He couldn't have said nicer things about the Jets.
I mean, he called Brian Daboll a beautiful football mind.
He did.
And then talked about how Mike Tomlin even exceeded his expectations. Like, I mean, he talked to all these other people, and they, you know, he loves them.
Yep.
And then he had this interaction with Aaron Glenn where he was like, they disrespected me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Paul in Florida. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Gio. Well, let's get this Aaron Rodgers. Put this Aaron Rodgers talk to bed. The guy was in the league for 22 years. He went to one Super Bowl and won. I don't even think he won. It's not like he went 24-20 for 350 yards.
Yes.
I mean, he never made it back to another one. You know, and everybody's
call?
First ballot Hall of Famer, this and that.
That can't be a real call.
No, that guy can't be real.
There's no way.
He's overdoing
exactly.
His Boston accent. I think he's just...
Yards.
Yeah.
Stop.
I think that's a guy who's happy that Lent is over, right?
It's boring. Yet.
Well, oh wait, when is it technically over? When is it?
Well, when Easter? when he gets up.
Oh, so
Sunday.
Easter, okay.
When Anthony Gallo wakes up on Sunday.
I thought Good Friday ended Lent. So no, it's actually Easter ends Lent.
Yeah, it's I think until he rises.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure.
I gave up sacrifice for Lent.
I did too.
Yep.
It's True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on a feel-good Friday. Yes, a feel-good Friday here on Boomer and Geo, brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka. Sunshine in a can. I'll be playing golf again today, shockingly, and one of my buddies that is playing with me texted me last night. You see this one right here. I want you, so you know I'm not making this up. The last text that he sent, not the F these old men.
Do you want me to pick up Surfsides?
Yeah, so say it again. I was talking over you. Say it again.
Did I not? I said it says, do you want me to bring some Surfsides?
Look at that.
Absolutely.
Look at that.
I don't usually have drinks during the week, but I will tell you, yesterday playing with my son, I went with the peach iced tea.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. It was such a nice day.
Beautiful.
And it felt like a Friday. So the running joke in my house is Friday golf, Friday surfside, Saturday golf, Saturday surfside. But I haven't been able to play with him because he has a baseball. So we went out yesterday, and it's like the first day it felt like spring. I'm like, screw it. I know it's a Thursday, and I'm working tomorrow. Let's go. Let's start. It was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah, we got treated like gold yesterday again out at Baiting Hollow Cheese Steaks and called in for some transfusions, warm chocolate chip cookies.
Good for you.
It was awesome.
Good for you.
That guy, Chris Vinay out there, he runs a class operation, man.
I'm sure he does.
Class operation. You walk in there, and everybody says the same thing at places. That place. Walk in there, you're treated like gold from the second that you step on the grounds. It's wonderful, CeeLo. It really is.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah. You ever going to use those $40,000 clubs that Boomer gave you?
Now they're $40,000?
Well, no. The reason why I did that is because every time he talked to you about it, they went up in price.
They started at $5,000 and then up at $40,000.
Yes. I've used them. Not yet this year.
Okay.
Still How about next week? You want to go next week?
Which day?
You tell me.
Well, I'm working for Bogish next week, so I won't be getting out quite as early as you. But you start early.
Got all day.
I know, but you know, by the time I get back,
when was the last time you saw your wife?
2:30.
Just curious.
A couple minutes yesterday. She came with her friend out to the bar event last night.
Oh, good. Okay.
But I didn't really see her at that point either because I was talking to other people, you know?
I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha. And by the way, tomorrow, before you take it, one more time, 1 to 4. Pool Ave Bar and Grill.
Yes.
CeeLo's big day, raising money for Boomer. I will be there too.
The guys at Dowling's knew all about Pool Ave Bar.
Great.
So they were like, oh, that'll be good. That'll be good for you guys.
Yes. And it is in Hazlitt. And I saw someone on social media wondered why we weren't doing something in Monmouth County.
Yeah.
That is in Monmouth County.
I did. I responded to that guy with the whispers. It is.
Yes. So, and don't order anything difficult. Because I don't know how to make them.
Well, yeah, but that's where you have the real bartender there.
Lauren's going to be the bartender with us.
I think I mixed one drink last night. It's more
a lot of beers?
Yeah, schmoozing. You know, you're schmoozing with people.
Yeah. So. I mean, you can make a vodka soda.
Sure.
You can make a tequila soda.
Yes.
Splash a cran. That's
but there
easy.
Are some drinks someone might ask for.
Yeah, asked me for a martini at Dallas.
I wouldn't know how to do that.
I was like, whatever that guy's name was I was working with. I was like, Glenn?
I think I would just put vodka in a cool-looking glass and put an olive in it.
Yeah, there you go. Have fun.
Like, what? Perfect. I don't even know. What else is in a martini?
Well, there's vodka martinis.
Vermouth?
Yeah, or I think gin, right? Martinis?
There's vermouth in there.
You
could have a vodka martini or a gin martini. I don't think they're both in there.
No, right, correct.
So that's what I'm asking. So a vodka martini would be vodka and vermouth and an olive?
But you could also have no vermouth in a vodka martini.
So what else is in it?
An olive.
Olive
so
juice.
It's vodka.
It's olive juice. Perfect.
There's olive juice only if you order it dirty.
Look at you.
That was correct.
Not bad. The guy who gets hammered on one beer on a Friday night to make a martini.
I love that. He pointed to
himself. He probably nailed it, though, I bet.
No, I know. He's very proud.
I wouldn't know the proper ratio to make a martini.
But you know what goes into it, so more than us.
There's a guy who works one day a week, a day shift at the Portly Villager, who refuses to make mixed drinks, and he's done at 6 o'clock. And if someone comes in and asks him for like a martini or an old fashioned, he goes, "Bartender starts at 6."
That's great.
That's funny.
So if you want a beer, I'm going to crack open a canned cocktail. You got it. Anything else?
6 o'clock.
Bartender starts at 6.
That's funny.
Dominic in North Carolina, what's going on, Dominic?
Yes. Good morning. I want to say real quick, I contributed to CeeLo's Team NARP, and my idea is you take every NARP in the city gives $1, he'd be the leading fundraiser.
There are a lot of NARPs out there, Dominic. Thank you for your contribution, though.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say I'm surprised that 3 Italians from New York don't know that the last day of Lent is Holy Thursday.
But hold on. I was right at first. I said I thought that it was over on Good Friday, meaning that I was right. That's what I said the first time. So Holy Thursday was the last day.
Then you clearly are the great Catholic out of the group, though you are golfing on Good Friday.
Exactly.
A little tiny bit of you feel a little guilty to go golfing on Good Friday.
It's Friday. Listen, Dominic.
Beautiful Friday.
There's a line there. He feels no guilt when it comes to golf.
No, I just also, listen, I make no bones about it. I was raised Catholic. I went through the whole thing, confirmation.
Same.
I no longer have any denominational religion, and I am no longer a Catholic. I was raised Catholic, so I know these things, just like Eddie was. He went to Catholic school. But
of course,
all religion is a la carte, and there's all these different versions of Christianity. So there, you can, some people say Holy Thursday, some people say Saturday night, some people say Sunday. It really depends on what you choose to believe.
Yeah. So there you go.
But or not believe.
Right.
There it is.
All rise.
Did you,
he was setting that one up.
Did you hear Gallo the other day when he was hosting?
No.
And he goes, I'll be back on Easter morning, and I will rise with you like the Lord. He's like, oh, my mom's going to be mad at that.
Oh, that's a good line out of Gallo.
I will be back Easter Sunday. I will rise with the Lord. I could feel my mom sighing at that joke right there. Probably not happy with me.
We also had our first Boomer. This is the second anniversary of the first Boomer and Geo Live, right? It was Good Friday. But it's not the same day, but it was Good Friday. Yeah.
In Jersey City.
13th, maybe, or something.
Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah, it was. Boomer blamed his blackout drunkenness on the fact that it was Good Friday, and he planned a lot more traffic. And he ended up getting there too early.
Stop drinking half a bottle.
Right, and he said the only way that he could kill time, apparently, was to drink the entire bottle of Casamigos.
Imagine if one of us tried that excuse on him.
Yeah, well, we all know that things are not equal.
Accountability.
They are not equal. I mean,
in this whole thing, all men are not created equal. Deal.
Nope. That is true.
All right, CeeLo, what's happening, man?
All right, brought to you by the New York Auto Show. Visit autoshowny.com. Aaron Rodgers, Pat McAfee show yesterday, setting the record straight from his viewpoint on the meeting with Aaron Glenn, Darren Mooji, and the new Jets regime this offseason. Jets didn't have any interest in bringing him back. Rodgers was open to it, but not exactly crushed to get that news. And what he said was a very brief face-to-face meeting after flying cross-country on his, as he put it, own dime.
There was no me pleading, like, please have me on the team. Nah. I don't want any part of that. It was already a debacle in some cases.
And there's the little jab at the Jets there. But hey, while I'm here, even though you're done with me, maybe I could still help you out in your way or my way out the door.
I wasn't surprised that they wanted to move on. But, like, why would you not pick my brain? I'm there to, like, talk to you about the team and about things that I think can get better and things that are good and players that have leadership possibilities and anything.
No, and Aaron Glenn was not looking for his input on any of those items,
nope.
Apparently. In terms of his potential playing future elsewhere, he wanted to dispel the notion that he's been holding anyone up over contract terms, either years or dollars in this case.
You know, I told every single one of the teams I talked to, you know, it ain't about the money. I'll play for 10 M's. You know, I don't care.
I forgot about that. I was going to bring that up, 10 M's. I'll play for 10 M's. I'll talk about living in a different world.
Spoken like a true
multimillionaire. As he was sitting there staring at the Pacific Ocean while doing this thing.
By the way, I know you mentioned the clean shavenness.
Yeah.
What was going on between the eyebrows? Did you guys notice?
I didn't.
It looked like an illuminated triangle right between his brows. Let me check that out during the break. If you go to one of the clips. Tell me if you see that. Under the brim of the cap.
Hmm. He's a Charmed fan. The power of three.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Maybe that's a sunglass indentation.
I guess.
Perhaps.
But doesn't it look like it's...
It does.
Like lit?
I did not notice
that.
It's
a tan line of some sort. I don't know.
Huh.
But, I mean, the brows are strong. Plus, he's got no facial hair. It accentuates the brows. And then you've got that... Yeah, I don't know. It almost looks like an arrowhead.
You're right. Look at the little photo on the left, and then look at him there. It literally looks like a guy who's 7-8 years younger.
He's pulling his Tom Brady now.
Unbelievable. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what was going on there. That looked a little strange.
One of the the memories on Google Photos come up from time to time. And when Al and Gina came to our house for a barbecue one day, I think it was 8 years ago or seven, something like that, 6 years ago. I mean, he looks like he's age reversed. Like, he looks like he's younger. He does.
No seed oils.
Whatever it is, yeah. I mean, you can tell, though, he looks better.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
He's aging gracefully.
Pretty good.
Good job out of him. Let's go down to Tampa, where the Yankees opened up a four-game series against the Rays with a 6-3 come-from-behind win, though there was quite a bit of attention paid to this extended sequence in the seventh inning.
And a pitch to Jazz. Strike three call, delayed call. Jazz had thrown his bat into the right-hand hitter's batter's box, and then Bacon, like a beat and a half late. Jazz beefing the call. They're going to agree to disagree. Jazz, don't even try to just end it right there.
Now Aaron Boone out there quickly getting him because you don't want to get kicked out of the game.
There he did. You know, he wouldn't let it go. He wouldn't let it go. All he had to It was a bad, it might be a bad call, but it wasn't worth getting thrown out.
That's Dave Sims here on The Fan, and he wasn't quite done.
And another thing, too, I know Jazz prides himself on having great knowledge and awareness of the strike zone, but sometimes you just have to, you have to chill a little bit.
Well, and the enforcer, Luis Rojas, has come down from third and get Jazz off the field.
Little Luis Rojas, you
How about
mentioned
that? I mentioned
Luis
him
Rojas
yesterday.
Yeah.
There you go.
Stepping in there.
And I believe the pitch before that was a strike that was called a ball.
The 2-2 pitch.
Pretty sure.
So we'll
That's
make
Papa
call.
Dave Sims right there, man. A lot of advice there
so
for
I
Jazz.
Mean, yeah. Opinionated.
You know, old grizzled vet up there in the booth telling the young fella how to act.
Well, yeah. I think he was just giving his perspective a little bit.
You know.
As for the game, Ben Rice, 4-for-5, double, couple of RBIs to pace the offense. He's been great to begin the season, mostly serving as the DH. So already getting asked, hey, what's going to happen when Giancarlo Stanton gets back from the IL?
No, I mean, we haven't thought about it at all, honestly. What I do know is that we're a much better team if we have Giancarlo Stanton. So just, you know, we'll figure it out as we go.
Pitching-wise, didn't go well for Will Warren, pulled after getting 5 outs on just 53 pitches. But the bullpen picked him up, and even though Warren is still a relative newcomer, he certainly got all the nicknames down pat.
Yarves came in, got out of a big jam, and then, you know, just the length out of all those guys. I think Tim went 3 ups and Hammy with 2 innings, and then Dev obviously slamming the door.
There you go. 6-pitch save for Devin Williams, his most efficient outing yet. Yanks have their first 4-game winning streak of the season tonight. Carlos Rodon opposed by Drew Rasmussen with coverage at 6:25 here on The Fan. Out at Citi Field, the Mets did all their scoring in the second inning and plated the final run, for them at least, in a bit of an unconventional manner. Hello.
San Francisco cuts one in the right field for a base hit. Beatty will score. Taylor stopped at third. Lindor with the ball cut off. Now is caught between first and second. He waves Taylor, tries to score, and Taylor will catch the plate. Lindor will get tagged out, but the run will count, and the Mets have a 4-0 lead.
Gary Cohn on SNY, so we had Howie with the great play-by-play last hour. Gary all over that sequence there.
You know, all I could think of, I was watching this game at the time, all I could think of was Lindor getting on base, walking, and then Soto coming with the bases loaded and 2 out.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen. He got the base hit. They scored. But that's where I'm at now when you think about Soto and this bad start. But that was a good play. That was kind of cool.
0-for-3 for Soto last night. Bounced into his fifth double play.
And unfortunately, even when it's not going well. So even when he does have a good, his last at bat, he hit it very sharply right at the shortstop. Yeah. So like it's just,
it'll
going through it right now.
Yes.
But they won.
They did. 4 runs second, which included the first homer of the season for Mark Vientos. It ends up a 4-1 victory over the Cardinals as Griffin Canning in the bullpen handled the rest. Canning retired the final 9 batters he faced. 5 via strikeout. Ends up 6 innings of 1-run ball, 102 pitches, 8 Ks total. Certainly more than Carlos Mendoza was expecting with Canning coming off of that illness.
I was hoping that, you know, we needed at least 5 from him, you know. But we were going to watch him closely, you know, because he was weak a couple of days ago, but we felt good about him taking the ball today.
Glad he got over the weakness.
Weak.
He was weak.
Yeah.
He looked strong yesterday.
Yes, he did. Yes,
weak
he
most
did.
Of his career, but
yeah,
looked
not
good
so
last
much,
night.
Not so much this year. I mean, this is another one of those finds for the Mets, so very good. And then back to Lindor. He had 3 hits and an RBI in the game. Good start to the series for the Mets. David Peterson, Miles Michaelis, 7-10 first pitch tonight. Odyssey Mets Radio. At the Garden, final broadcast for Sam Rosen. The Rangers at least sent him out with a victory, but poor Joe Micheletti as he was trying to share some heartfelt words late in this game.
And Sam, before this ends, thank you. I want to thank you for what you've done for me as a person, what you've done for me in my career. It's been...
Zibanejad scores! Mika Zibanejad! Makes it 3-0.
How dare he interrupt me?
Oh, so they
That's
were having
tremendous.
Some fun. They had another one. There's another gentleman. I believe his name. I'll play it later. Fred, who's like their head replay guy, is retiring as well.
Fred?
Yeah. I don't have his last name.
Okay.
And Sam was trying to, you know, give him a little bit of a tribute, and Zibanejad interrupted that one. So,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, 3 third-period goals. They beat Tampa 4-0. They made Sam Rosen the first star of the game, which
Very
was great.
Cool.
A lot of the players on the ice stick salute up to him. So, a good finish, not so much to the season for the Rangers, but at least Sam going out on a high note. 4-0 shutout for 40 years. As it turns out. So good on him. The Islanders wrapped up their season with a 6-1 loss in Columbus, but you had more respect shown for Matt Martin as the entire Blue Jacket. They were basically, the Islanders were heading to the dressing room, and the Blue Jackets skated over and grabbed him. They all shook his hand, and so they had a nice nice little tribute for him there.
Was he
Columbus.
Emotional postgame again?
I didn't see any of that. Not sure if that was the case, but it seemed he definitely appreciated the Columbus
That's
guys
awesome.
Coming over.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on a feel-good Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer not having a feel-good Friday. He is sick once again. Hopefully he'll be back on Monday.
You did Boomer me, though.
Whoa, but
did you turn that thermostat down to 35 degrees?
No, I was only, I think, 68. I turned it down. I was feeling a little, I was sweating a little bit early on.
So. All good. But the vent is right above me. Woo.
No, that happens to me all the time, Eddie, with the sweating thing. It's not, it's nothing to, I feel totally fine.
Yeah, no, I wasn't claiming you were sick at all.
If I was sick, I'd probably turn it up. I wouldn't turn it down.
Right, because you have the chills.
Right. One of those things. No, I'm good. I feel great. Now, this, I'm sure I could ask AI this or Google this, but this just hit me the other day when we were talking about Easter and the Easter Bunny and all this stuff. So let's just forget about for a second how we got from the most religious moment in Catholicism to the Easter Bunny. Let's just forget about that for a second.
Yes.
Why is the Easter Bunny associated with eggs so much
when bunnies don't lay eggs?
Fertility. They're both symbols of life and fertility and all that.
Okay.
Because they are prolific.
Because bunnies,
yeah,
they have lots of sex and lots of other bunnies.
And yet if you polled 100 people, 4 would have known that answer.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's Easter, it's spring, it's the rebirth, regeneration. That's the whole
thing. That makes sense, but I just, for the longest time, like, wait a second, but bunnies don't lay eggs. Why? It doesn't make any sense, right? If it was like the Easter chicken, it would make sense, but it's the Easter bunny. But now, all right, I got you.
You know what, the lesson there is? You don't need artificial intelligence for anything. You got Skizzeri intelligence.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You asked, he answered.
Yeah, screw AI, we got a yes.
Yes, exactly right, yes.
Well said. Fertility. Yeah. But I never thought, but did you ever think about that before?
No.
Yeah, a rodent delivering colored eggs, yeah, to celebrate the risen Lord.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, none of it makes sense. Santa Claus doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, but Santa Claus is a very, you know, he's prolific man. You know,
the fact that
he's got reindeer that fly. Sure, it's abnormal, but
what does that have to do with the birth of Christ?
But he's got nothing. But he's right. But he's out there. He's helping.
I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're asking, have we ever thought of it? No, not really. Yeah. But if you want to start thinking about things,
yeah,
none of it makes sense.
Well, they put the birth of Christ around that time of year because all the pagans were making merry because it was the winter solstice, start of the days getting longer. So let's bogart that celebration, turn it into Christ's birthday, when best theories are that he was born in May based on what was going on in the nativity stories.
Hey, Mike, you think the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus get together in the summertime? Rent the beach house? Is Tooth Fairy come to?
The Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
Forgot about her.
You know, I was trying to explain to Sabrina that Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny are not equal. Like, they're both, we're going to bring you stuff, but Santa brings you more stuff than the Easter Bunny. And don't think that the Easter Bunny has the same powers and the same gift giving as Santa Claus.
And Santa can speak.
Right, exactly.
Easter Bunny.
Can't, there's no words.
Yeah.
So I was like, listen, the Easter Bunny's great. And the Easter Bunny gave me lots of chocolate when I was a kid and will give you chocolate when you're a kid. But you can't request a bicycle from the Easter Bunny.
Different situation.
That's reserved for Santa Claus.
Yeah.
If you're good for the entire year and the elves tell Santa that you've been good. But you're not getting a $200 gift card to Target for the Easter Bunny. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe 150.
Yeah, I mean,
and the Tooth Fairy, another notch below.
That is true.
Agreed. That could, you know, theoretically come however many, you know, times you have teeth.
Well, she just lost her first tooth, and then she had requested something from the Tooth Fairy. I said, you don't.
I was like,
the Tooth Fairy does not take requests. I said, you really got to, and I understand how you're young and this could be confusing and all these, you know, these magical people that are in your life, you got to understand and learn. But I said, it's like, you can't ask for a Nintendo Switch from the Tooth Fairy.
You can ask.
It'd be very difficult to get under the pillow.
I know. Like, you're going to get a couple bucks from the Tooth Fairy, most likely, which she did, you know, and you put that in your piggy bank and say, you know, go ahead, Eddie.
Then you can start asking Jesus for stuff. Good luck.
It's funny you bring up the Easter Bunny, though, because I heard a national news report today.
Yeah.
That was talking about the most popular chocolate and, you know, how much gets handed out. And they said the hollow chocolate bunny is the most popular. Makes sense. Or maybe the second most, whatever. Doesn't matter for the story. And they said it was like 50% of the people polled eat the ears first.
Mm.
The next one was the legs go next, and third on the list was the tail is eaten first.
Yeah, those are just the perverts.
The reporter, so it's funny you say that, the reporter ended the story by saying, psychologists claim it doesn't say anything about you negatively if you like to eat the tail first.
Sorry. No, it does. Totally does.
And you exactly right there. Yeah. Right on cue. Pervert.
I mean, if you flip that bunny around, start eating its butt first, then you got a major problem. You got a major issue, man. I understand it all tastes the same. It's all chocolate, but that is some sick stuff.
That is, it is
eat
weird.
Eat the ears like a normal person, you sicko.
Like most people.
Yeah.
Not the tail.
You know, one of the things, because usually most things in New York taste better than when I lived in Pittsburgh. Bagels, pizza, sandwiches, like, you know, every restaurant for the most part. There's one thing that they had there that I thought was better, and it's this place, Saris Chocolate. That's a family-owned chocolate mm-hmm. place. So we now order from them
at
Easter time, and they make this thing called the peanut butter melt-away egg, and it's this egg, and you slice it with a knife, and then you, like, take a slice of it, you put it in your mouth, and the chocolate, the peanut butter melts.
No kidding.
We get it once a year. Wow. It's like, I like hide in the corner so people don't bother me when I'm eating it because I just like have to have that feeling.
Sounds delicious.
Oh, it's so good.
Chocolate and peanut butter is about, like Reese's, they perfected it.
Oh, chocolate and peanut butter.
That is about as good as it gets.
Yeah. You know what? I don't like a jelly bean. I'm not a jelly bean guy.
So either. I wasn't either, but I have to tell you the Starburst jelly beans are ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, and I agree. A traditional jelly bean you can keep, and the black jelly bean, I don't know who eats those. But when you get the Starburst jelly beans, they are, like, next level fabulous.
Okay, I'll give them a shot. I like regular Starburst, so I'll give them a shot.